Today we're looking at Psalm 114. Now, Psalm 114 is part of what is known as the Great Hallel, the Great Psalms of Praise. Actually, it starts with Psalm 113, which we looked at the other day. From Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, inclusive, is known as the Great Hallel, or the Egyptian Hallel. It celebrates their redemption from Egypt and so on. The Great Hallel was sung during Israel's holy feast days, especially the Passover. In fact, it's believed that the Lord Jesus and the disciples in the upper room would have sung portions of the Great Hallel. It says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." This is the Lord Jesus and his disciples. And no doubt they sung portions of the Great Hallel. We're not sure which psalm, perhaps all of them, perhaps portions of them. I'll bring more out about this when we get to Psalm 118, the last psalm that closes that series of psalms. But for today, we'll just make note of the fact that Psalm 114 is the second of psalm in the series of the Great Hallel. And I should say also that when we get to Psalm 114 here, the emphasis is really on their deliverance from Egypt. And although Psalm 113 opens the Great Hallel, really this is the focus. It's the focus is the deliverance from Egypt during the night of the Passover. It's only 8 verses. Verse 1 says, "When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel was his dominion." Well, that Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel was his dominion looks forward to the time when they would come into the land. Judah was the place of his dwelling place. That's where the temple was made. It says in Exodus chapter 25 that they were to build a sanctuary for the Lord to dwell among them. That's the tabernacle. But eventually, that would be established on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And then Israel, his dominion, that there were certain boundaries that the nation of Israel would conquer and would hold for theirs, according to the promise given to Abraham. And verse 3, "The sea saw it and fled. The Jordan was driven back." The sea here is the Red Sea that they crossed over during the Passover. And of course, the Jordan was driven back also when they entered into the land. Then verse 5, "What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou was driven back? What caused them, the Red Sea, to part? What caused the Jordan to part and to be driven back? What was the power of the Lord on behalf of his people?" You know, the crossing of the Red Sea speaks of Christ's death for us. The crossing of the Jordan speaks of our death and resurrection and ascension with Christ. There are two aspects of the Lord's salvation are typified in the Red Sea and the crossing of the Jordan. One brings us out of bondage, out of Egypt. The other speaks of what we're brought into, the heavenly places. There's a lot connected with that, but I just throw that out to you for a hint. The difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan. The Red Sea, what we're delivered from. The Jordan, what we're brought into. One, we're taken out of bondage. The other, we're brought into the land of promise. And then verse 7, "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." Then verse 8, "Which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters." That speaks of the rock in the wilderness that they got water from. And we read in 1 Corinthians 10 that the rock that followed them was Christ. He's the source of their supply of water. And so he is today for the believer, that we come unto him for refreshment. We receive the Spirit through Christ. He's the baptizer in the Spirit. He's the one who gives the Spirit. And it's through him that we have the Spirit, the smitten one. And out from his smiting on the cross and his ascension to the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit has come down and has filled us. So the psalm looks back at their deliverance. It's their praise for deliverance from Egypt and their being brought into the land of promise. And you know, brothers and sisters, it doesn't hurt us now and then to look back to see the pit that the Lord has digged us from, to look back to see the deliverance that he has given us. Actually, every Lord's Day when we gather in his name, when we sit in his presence and celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're looking back at the great deliverance, but we're also looking forward to the great deliverance also. You know, we show the Lord's death, we announce his death, we proclaim his death until he comes. That is, we look back at the redemption that he has accomplished, but we look forward to the deliverance that will come, that when he comes to take us to be with himself. All of this is contained in the Lord's Supper. And this is our great Hallel, so to speak, every Lord's Day, when we sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs in the presence of the Lord, with the emblems before us, the loaf and the cup. I trust and hope that you're with a company of Christians that practices this, that has the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day, each first day of the week, which we can remember the Lord and the deliverance he has wrought for us and the future prospect that lays before us through the promises of the Word of God. Well, may the Lord encourage you this day, and I commend you to him and to the word of his grace. Amen.